Thank you, Brother and Sister Case, for that beautiful song, beautiful songs. And I must tell you that I know all of you have said the same thing, but I want you to know that I've never been sorry. I look back over the years, and so many times, well, never has the Lord failed me. And I appreciate this song tonight, again, this one. There's just no name like Jesus. I don't know how many folks here have ever been. I'm sure you've probably gone through the same things, but I've been awakened in the night with cares, and I've just felt, Lord, in Jesus' name, I need your help. And he's calmed the seas, and I'd wake up in the morning realizing that I went to sleep. Say, oh, big deal. Yeah, when you can't sleep and there's more than you can handle, you wake up in the morning, you are grateful the Lord helped you to go back to sleep and rest in peace. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a real privilege to be back. Now, if you folks have never spoken any place, I'll give you a little clue. If I'm in a meeting and I start out and somebody comes back the second night, I appreciate it and I let them know. If you speak once and they come back, you ought to be grateful. And to be asked back the second time to the camp and with the cases, the only problem, and now don't think I'm going to be in bondage because I've known this family a long time, but the nights I lead the singing, you better pull out the stops because I don't know how to do it all. I'll just give you a number and we'll sing together, and Sister Case is going to pull us right through. I may lift my hand once in a while and say thanks, but you know, anyway. I don't know how many of you remember. Last time we were here, we did that, and I've never got a call even from then till now to lead the singing. You know what I mean? To go out in evangelistic singing. So anyway, thank you for being here tonight. And I do trust the Lord will help us. This may sound superfluous to even say this, but I thought of it recently over and over again. We that are here in our churches, we have heard so many messages that if you were the speaker, sometimes you would just feel like, what can I say or how can I approach it differently? And I know the answer. You say what the Lord wants you to say, what we have need of. So tonight, I want to share something with you, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it's a very simple approach. And I'll tell you just why I'm approaching this subject tonight. Turn with me. I'm going to do a little extra reading. What I want to do is take you, for a moment, I want to take you to three different accounts in the scripture. All of them have something that relate to each other. But turn with me, if you will, first of all, to John chapter 21. John 21 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. Now I want to stop and remind you of the two songs they sang tonight. Both of those songs centered around one thing, and that was the name of Jesus. And so listen to the scripture tonight. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Let me stop here to tell you, if you ever are reading through here again, This is the shortest fishing story and about the most honest I have ever read. There's no palaver. We fished all night. No, we caught nothing. I like the honesty. Turn with me now, if you will, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Beginning at verse 18. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. One more scripture in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto them, or to Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes, which they had taken. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord one more time in another camp meeting. We pray that you will touch our hearts together. Thank you for letting us sing together, for the songs that have been rendered for our pleasure and challenge. Now we thank you for your word. We pray in the next few moments you will touch our hearts together, guide our thoughts, and ultimately help us to honor you, and we shall ascribe to you the praise. In thy name we pray. Amen. Rather interesting, and I am sure the background behind this, I'm going to tell you how this came about, but I don't get the chance very often, but my boys were home recently, and my son-in-law from Ohio and my grandson by marriage from Indiana, Andy from Pennsylvania and Bobby from down home. Anyway, they came home recently, and we had planned a little trip, and which we did. We went back into the Cedar River flow just a few days ago, and the weather was a little threatening for a moment, so we spent the night, and my one son has he bought a Penske truck about, I don't know how long, but anyway, we took our own cabin with us. And it rained, so we just made house, we put mattresses in this truck and sleeping bags and let the weather do what it will. We had a nice cabin. Well, anyway, the next day it started to clear up, and we said, okay, so we got out the canoes, got in the canoes and started from there. And it's a long ways from there back into a lean-to where we wanted to go. But it was placid, it was just beautiful. So we rode for, I don't know how many hours, several miles, and made it into this lean-to just for the fun of it. We had been there a number of times before. But anyway, we set it to lean-to, and my son said, somebody left a testament here. So I said, let me take the testament. So I took it and I said, boys, I want to read you something. And I wanted to read something that would be appropriate. And so I read that where Peter said, I go a-fishing. And they fished all night and caught nothing. And we were pretty well with the scriptures right then. We hadn't caught hardly a thing. But we arrange for that. If we don't catch fish, we bring in loads of food and I make the hamburgers bigger and whatever. Now you say, what's all that introduction for? I sat there at the lean-to and I said, boys, I want you to notice something about this. I want you to remember the power of influence, the power of your influence. And I was sharing with my sons back in there, not knowing, but I knew I was heading for this camp meeting and I wasn't clear what I was going to use and I wasn't sure at the time when I was going to begin. But it's interesting, I got home and somehow it just dawned on me how comfortable I felt in sharing a few thoughts with you from these very scriptures. And so I appreciate the leadership of the Lord if it started back in the woods. I hope you don't mind that. And you say, well, you guys are in the brush most of the time anyway, but I'm out of the woods now back here. So I want you to think with me just a few simple thoughts, and I trust it'll be a challenge to us tonight. Here these gentlemen are sitting, side of the sea. That's a nice place for seven guys to be. You know, all the disciples weren't there. It looks like there was about seven fellas sitting down by the shore. And I want to tell you something. That can be one beautiful time in nature to sit down by the shoreline. It really, you know, you ought to be able to relate a little bit to that up here in the North Country. But here they are. Here are these men. I am assuming that they were in common conversation about common things and common business. It may sound very simple to you, and there are several things are going to be interjected in here in the day in which we live. I would like to remind you, as simplistic as it might seem, I want to remind you that the brethren and the ladies, we need times when we are together, when we can just share common things with each other. We're living in a day when some people just feel, well, praise God, I'm steady, I'm independent. Don't be too independent, because somewhere along the line, everybody needs somebody. And I don't mean to pop anybody's balloon this first night, but you may need somebody along the way. Anyway, very simple, I know, but here's seven guys down by the shoreline, and they're talking together, and I think it's really good. But remember something, with seven guys, I also know, and I've been with guys, you get seven guys together and get in any conversation, quite often there's a few disagreements. Anybody here? Sometimes the posts block out some of you. I'm trying to be realistic now. We're living in a day when there are disagreements. Less than seven. Sometimes in a house of two. I don't want to shock you. I don't want to shock you. I'm glad my wife is with us, but it may shock the daylights out of you to know that my wife and I have not always agreed. I wish somebody would at least shake your... Don't look so innocent or I'll stop right here and make you husbands and wives look at each other and say, tell the truth. Yes, dear, yeah. Okay. But I want you to see the scenario now. We may disagree, but all of a sudden, Peter said, well, and it does appear, I don't know all the circumstances. You can read that scripture and you can put in there whatever you want, but it seemed they did have some idle time. There was a lull in their business. There was an idle time there. And all of a sudden, I think Peter recognized something, and seeing that things were kind of quiet, he said, well, guys, I'll tell you what. I'm going fishing. Rather than sit here in idle time, and by the way, you get seven guys or five or three or two or whatever, and you get there and a little idle time, the discussions may get a little tacky. They may be a little cross. But anyway, Peter, whatever they were talking about, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And guess what? That quick, seven guys were in harmony. They said, we're going to. He didn't even ask them. But all of a sudden, they are in perfect harmony. And so he said, I go a fishing. My friends, tonight, the simple thing I do want to leave you as strong as I can is that point right there. I am going fishing. And that quick, six men said, we're going to. I don't know anymore if we realize the power of influence. So, Brother Myers, we're laid back up here in the North Country, and, you know, really life is a little slow for us. We're not in the fast lane. Any of you know what the fast lane is? I got to wake some of you up, so I'm going to tell this. I shouldn't tell it publicly, but I'm going to anyway. I was riding along in the car with my older brother, and my wife and sister-in-law were sitting in the back, and they were kind of needling us a little bit. And we were chatting back and forth, and then I heard them back there. They're saying, yeah, we really wanted to live in the fast lane, but we married two speed bumps. Okay, you don't have to laugh. The power of influence. I said that because some here may think, you know, Brother Myers, I just get up in the morning and I wash dishes, or I walk out in my garden and I come back, or I do this or I do that. I had a young man talking to me just the other day, and he looked at me and he said, I want to ask you something. And we stepped over and he said to me, would you do me a favor? He said, will you pray that the Lord will help me somehow to relate? He's talking about witnessing to them. He is a teacher, and he wants to teach, but they have to be so careful. Would you pray that I would be able somehow to convey truth to my students? More ways than one to wake you up. Yeah, that wasn't intentional, but anyway. And so I said, yes, I would. And my talking to him, I finally said, you want to remember one thing. And I love the guy. I said, remember one thing. I said, maybe not your words, but I said, your very deportment, your life, the things that you convey through your life as a witness. I said, in this day, remember those young people. They see your life, and you may not say a word, but you are a witness to them. And my friend, we need to be careful over, and I'm not going to get into this in a whole lot of depth tonight. It's supposed to be very simple, and I mean it to be that way. But I want to encourage you, as we enter into a camp meeting, a lot of us in our churches, people are sitting around and say, what can I do? I'm no influence. Every single person here, from the youngest to the oldest, is an influence to somebody. Children influence others. Teenagers, you know as well as I do. You take one teenager in a congregation that wants to go in the other direction, and they can lead kids just like this, one right after another, away from God. And these last few years, I've watched that influence. One person said, well, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to try a new spot. And boy, you try a new spot, and somebody else will try a new spot with. I know it may not sound like anything tonight, but it's heavy on my heart and watching the influences in so many directions. I forgot up here whether you say amen or not. I don't know. If you do, help yourself. You won't scare me. Say amen, honey. Would you please say amen? The power of influence. And so I'm going fishing. We're going too. And I'm glad. And they all. And did you notice? I don't want to digress here, but man, what a story. If these guys in modern day were at home and you could hear in their houses, the wife said, honey, any chance of you putting up a blind for me today? Honey, I'm right outstretched. I'll see what can happen, you know. But somebody else, honey, the lawn really needs to be mowed. Can you? Honey, I'll have to get it later. But the phone rings, and Peter or Andrew or said, hey, you guys, we're going fishing. Any chance you're going? Oh, yeah, no problem. Man, you're in the boat immediately. Fix the shade tomorrow. Now, ladies, you ought to say amen somewhere. But anyway, here they are. Immediately, they got in the boat. Immediately. The power of influence. One person goes. Six other guys climb in the boat with them. They probably chatted all night. They probably shivered a little. The spray, they got a little damp and a little wet and maybe a little cold. And, you know, come on, guys. And they pulled the net again. Not a thing. Weren't you guys? Come on, throw them. Pull them in. Throw them out. Pull it in. And man, they fished all night. That's a tough road to go. All night and caught nothing. That's their disappointment. My friends, I want to tell you tonight, I trust God will help us. Because be sure, whatever you do, some of our suggestions and our influence may lead to failure. It may lead to disappointment. Hey, look it. Okay, we'll go. But it ends up in the morning a total failure. What we thought maybe was good turns out a failure and a disappointment. I'd like to tell you something, my friend. I think we need to be cautious in our influence. But if you have endeavored to do good, if you have made suggestions, you started out doing something and others followed you and it turned out a failure or a disappointment. Thank God. Hey, boys, you catch anything? Thank the Lord. Every time Jesus steps on the shore in times of failure and disappointment, and here these guys are, they're tired and they're beat and defeated and disappointed. But the Master says, children, you ever have the Lord call you children right in your failures? His children, have you caught anything? You haven't caught anything. My friends, the wonderful part of it is, wherever our failures or disappointments may be, Jesus steps on the scene and changes the circumstances every single time. And so, back in our churches, here in the camp, we may feel like, Brother Myers, we don't know what to do. We have thrown the nets in and thrown them in. We have tried and we're disappointed. But I just want you to listen close. Children, you haven't caught anything? He says, boy, throw the net on the right side. Now you can really get exaggerating here and say they were on the left side on or the wrong side all night. He said, put them on the right side. And they cast the net on the right side. Remember what Jesus said. Keep this in mind. He said, cast your net on the right side. Your net. And when they did, they engulfed so many fish. They started dragging them in. And boy, there's nothing like getting on shore and seeing the fire already going and somebody already's got the trout cooking. No, I don't know if they were trout or not. What difference does it make? The Lord has a way of turning the long night of disappointment into success by simply saying, throw it on the right side. I want to hurry tonight to take you over to Matthew. Jesus is walking along the shore. I read it all to you there. There's two sets of brothers. He comes on Peter and Andrew, and he looks out, and they were casting their nets, doing what they did best. So he goes a little further, but he said to those brothers, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He goes on down a little bit further and he runs on to two other brothers. James and John were in the boat with their father Zebedee. I'm going to pause here again. I know this is very hometown stuff. But that's a beautiful scene right there. They're in the boat with their father, Zebedee. If we were in our day, you know what those two boys were doing with their father? They were mending their nets. Up there, they're casting theirs. These guys were mending their nets. They no doubt had been out for some time. Pulled the net in. You know, John, something's wrong here. We have fished here so many times. Try it again. James says, you got to be right. Something is wrong. So let's check it out. They pulled their nets in, said, that's self-explanatory, John. Holes in the net. They knew there's no sense of throwing those nets out anymore until they mend. I could say a lot of things in a modern way and tell you that if it were in our day, the teenagers, the young people, they'd throw the nets away and go down to Walmart and buy new ones. But these guys were hard workers. They were frugal. They learned. They were honoring their father's teaching. Whoa. No. Don't be throwing those nets away. And so they take time. Rather than foolishly throw those nets out over and bring them in empty and throw them out and bring them in empty, they were sitting with their father mending their nets. Now, church, can I suggest something to you tonight from my heart? I mean this seriously. I have to tell you, sometimes it gets a little emotional to me. I really believe that the conservative holiness movement, our churches, other churches, I believe that we could start a powerful revival. I believe this. If we would start with a family and start mending some nets, Do you know what I'm talking about? It used to be there were people who said, you know, man, I'm sorry. I spoke a little quick, but I'm checked. I heard somebody just recently said, by the way, I want you to know I'm sorry if I showed the wrong attitude. How often are you hearing that anymore? There are, listen, y'all get to listen to people. There are churches where people sit on different sides and they can't stand because somebody's rubbed their hair the wrong way. Now that doesn't bother some of us as much as it does others. I'm dead serious, my friends, tonight. There are all across the country. We want God, send us a revival. I can tell you where we could start a revival. And these boys were sitting in the boat with their father. And they were mending nets right in the close ones. I know it's so simple, I'm almost half embarrassed to show what it looks like a lack of my intelligence, but I've been around long enough to know that a little note to someone and say, look, I was a little quick. A little phone call and say, look, I would just like to apologize if you misunderstood me. Mending the net. Young people with young people. Homes. Husbands, wives, sisters, brothers. Just mending their nets. If I'm wrong, you tell me. But if we'll try it, I guarantee you there'd be a move of God among us. Because I don't think the Spirit of the Lord can work the way He would like when people are in churches with odds. Psst, man, what'd I say to him? Have you ever been around and said, what in the world did I say? Well, the modern language is this. You bug them. That fits in up here, doesn't it? Last time I was here at 9 o'clock, it bugged everybody. You remember that? 9 o'clock. You could set your clock. 9 o'clock. And I'm going to be sure to be done by 9. At least. Because I don't like them either. But I don't want to, I want that to sink in. This is not a theological discourse that's going to strain your brain tonight. This is areas we can understand. And Jesus came along, and here are two brothers sitting in a net, sitting in a boat with their father, mending their nets. I think it's a big thing. I think it's a big hindrance, and I think it's a key to revival. Go over to Luke chapter 5, if you will. You remember what happened? They're mending their nets, and this last one, Jesus steps up, changes the whole outcome. He said, fellas, I've watched you fish. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Man, these guys saw Jesus on the scene. They dropped their nets, left their nets in the boat, and their father, and followed him. What a powerful message there. But in Luke, again, Jesus steps along the shore. And people were pushing around and they wanted to hear the truth. And so he steps in a boat that the fishermen had given up with. I'm just going to throw this out because I don't want to digress too far, but I want to give you something to think about. Jesus utilized the very boats that these fishermen had abandoned. He said, push me out a little. And he sat in that boat and ministered to the crowd. The same boat that had caught fish before, the same boat that carried others before, but the fishermen had given up and abandoned the boats. We have a lot of people, the scene is on. A lot of places. You know, we got to change things. We have got to abandon this. No. When revival comes, it seems like the Lord steps on the scene and often uses the same things that some people say, no more. No more. Jesus comes along and uses the same things again through the Holy Spirit and convicts people and makes them hungry. And what has happened, and I want you to see the scene, and I'll be just a few moments and I'll be done. But this scene, Jesus is ministering to this crowd in the abandoned boats. He gets all done. And he said, Peter, why don't you launch out into the deep? And please, Peter was human, as we know, impetuous. He said, I can almost see Peter going like this. Lord, I don't want to be disrespectful, but you got to be kidding. We fished all night, and we haven't caught anything. But, Jesus said, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Now get the scene of these men. They had given up. They were washing their nets. Going to hang them up. They're washing their nets. We quit. They gave up. But Jesus said, Peter, launch out. Give it another try. He said, Lord, we fished all night. But, Peter, no, wait, Peter. Go let down your nets. We fished all night. He said, nevertheless, I will go out and I will let down the net once more. So here they go. You see, Jesus, because he's God, he saw a school of fish coming. He said, launch out a further and let the nets down. And Jesus saw this school of fish coming, and they went out, and Peter said, I'll let down the net. And he let down the net. And say, neighbor, the net broke. In John 21, he said, let down the net on the other side. They engulfed a great amount of fish, and the net didn't break. Here Jesus said, let down the nets. Peter's testing out it. Maybe a little lack of faith. Could that be where we are? And Jesus may be saying, look, folks, launch out. Try it one more time. Don't give up. Give it another try. But this time, have faith and let the nets down. I'm not saying you can study that all you want to. I can't give you all the answers. But it appears like Peter said, I let the net down and the net broke. If he'd have let down the nets, imagine how many they would have caught. I'll tell you, they caught so many with one net. And here's the third thought. They gave up washing their nets. Nevertheless, they gave in at your word. And at his word, they're pulling these fish in. And there are a couple of guys are standing up in their boat. Hey, yo, hey. They're beckoning to the other guys. They came over. They gave up. They gave in. And now they're giving out fish. Giving out after total failure. I don't know how many they lost. Certainly some out of broken net. But I'd like to challenge you tonight, friends. There are some that are washing their nets, hanging up, giving up. But again, Jesus says, Peter, no. Man, I wish we could hear him clearly again. Peter, launch out and let your nets down. Gave up, gave in. I can't even imagine the excitement of those guys out there. Hey! Get up! Oh! And over comes these other boats, and they keep pulling them in and loading their boats until their boat starts to sink. Now I could get ridiculous, and I'm done, and not a good way to end, but... Hello, Brother Montgomery. Any chance of you sending a bus over here? I'm no kidding. There's so many people in our church, we don't have any place to put them. No, I'm serious. We've had a revival over here. We threw out the nets, and we just tried it once. No, I know you don't believe me, but you say, Brother Myers, that's stupid. Yeah, because you just want to let down a net. What would happen if we really had a revival and some of the guys up here had to call each other and say, man, I don't know if you can use any people, but I don't know what to do with mine. See, Brother Myers, that's carrying it too far. Well, wash your nets and hang them up then. Or, Lord, I'll give it a try once more. You're coming soon. Lord, touch my faith. For I thought, as I started this tonight, I thought, when they sang about Jesus, is he right here, real to us right now? I've read you the word. Does any of this mean anything, our influence? Try the other side, boys. Okay, they caught fish. They're mending their nets. The Lord said, you two guys, looks like everything is clear. I make fishermen out of you. Come out, you can catch people. Now they're catching a lot of people. But I tell you, if Jesus is real to us right now, and I was going to tell you, when they sang how real and rich that became to me, because the other day, coming out of that lean-to, we went in rowing canoes. Placid. It was beautiful. You can go right across. I've been in there when we kept right on the shore. The waves are like this, and you don't want waves like this when you're in canoes. At least for me. And we got all the way in a beautiful day, and we started out. I said, we were coming down that channel, that river, heading into this long flow. And boy, the wind started blowing in our face. And I looked at my son, I said, oh, we decided we don't need this. We headed out into the flow and almost as far as you can see. It's pretty wide. And the shortest way, you know, to any place is a straight line. And so we wanted to head right down. We got out in the middle of that thing. And I want to tell you something. Those waves begin to lap and we're a long ways from shore. And I've got news for you. I said in that canoe, you can laugh if you want to. But I've been there before, and I've been scared there before in canoes with waves that I didn't like. And I saw that thing picking up, and I sat in that canoe with my son and my other, there here, four of us in these canoes. And I said, Lord, please, please, Lord, you know all about these waves, please. Get us safe to that place, please. I really prayed, and I tried my best to believe Jesus. He calmed other waters, and it didn't get any worse, thank the Lord. Say, that's silly. Don't go out there. You weren't there. It was nice when we went up, but you don't know when the storm is going to come. But thank the Lord. In all of these incidences, remember, if you don't remember anything I said, remember this. Jesus stepped on the shore and changed every circumstance. And you know what? Jesus can change your circumstance tonight and can change this camp meeting and give us a great time. So let's go home, and if you have any nets to mend, mend them. Get on your knees, and if he says let out one net, two or three, let them all out. And let's trust the Lord to help us in the next week. All right, I'll tell you what, if you will be friendly, and smile, maybe, and shake hands with somebody, you're dismissed. If not, we'll see you here in the morning.